Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to webtalkradio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about, most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you in each of the Healthy Alternative shows. My guest I'm going to be interviewing in a few minutes is Dr. Julie Chan. I've interviewed her a number of times, and she's always got great information. Dr. Julie Chan is a board-certified integrative medicine physician. She's got her own clinic in San Jose, California, and she incorporates a whole range of alternative therapies. She was recently interviewed on the Dr. Oz show, and we're going to be talking to her about a couple of supplements that you may not be aware of that can have a real positive impact on you. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should have because it's really something that can have an impact on you. This week, I want to talk about the advice you get from your doctor for doing testing and stuff like that. You really need to start asking more questions than you probably ever thought that you might. And the question is, do I really need that? The American Academy of Family Physicians are part of a group of a coalition of many physician groups, including the American Board of Internal Medicine Foundation, and these groups represent 350,000 doctors. What they're saying is that there are dozens of tests and treatments that physicians too often prescribe when they shouldn't. So, stroke, for example. You screen a healthy person for a clogged artery could wind up leading to a risky surgery for a blockage that was actually too small to matter. Heartburn medicine, giving it to kids who have reflux. Not good because, first of all, it hasn't been proved to work in babies and it could have side effects. Using feeding tubes with people with advanced dementia, a better option is helping them to eat instead of using a feeding tube. So these are examples of where you're not only wasting money and time, but you may be causing harm. As a matter of fact, a recent report out said, questioned even the yearly physical, that it may not do anything in terms of improving longevity and preventing diseases and illnesses from happening, yet we spend a whole lot of money for it. So next time your doctor says, I think you need, the question is, do I really need that? If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I have a free monthly e-newsletter I do, health, nutrition, wellness-oriented, called the Teplitz Report. You can locate that at my website. You can sign up, teplitz.com, click the About Home button. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough that's the newest discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and for loved ones. I want to talk about yoga. Yoga is something that came basically from India, and it's about several thousand years old. And two recent studies have started to look even further at the positive benefits it can have on us. One was a study that looked at atrial fibrillation, And what that is where the upper chambers of the heart quiver in a chaotic manner, and it affects about 2.7 million people. This study took 49 patients who had atrial fibrillation, and they had them first keep records for 3 months on heart symptoms, blood pressure, heart rate, anxiety, depression levels, quality of life, and then they had them take yoga classes at least twice a week for 3 months, and they were tracking the same symptoms. What they found at the end of the study, the number of participants who reported the heart quivering had dropped in half. They also reported less feelings of anxiety and depression. Plus, you're avoiding taking beta blockers to alleviate these same kind of symptoms, because beta blockers have a slew of side effects: heart attack, stroke, type 2 diabetes, sexual dysfunction, just to name a few. Duke University researchers also took a look at 100 studies on the effect of yoga and mental health, and they found that yoga appears to have a positive effect on mild depression, sleep problems, schizophrenia, and ADHD. And some of the studies even suggested that yoga can have similar effects to an antidepressant and to psychotherapy, because what it's doing is influencing neurotransmitters and boosting serotonin in the body. So yoga is something that you can do easily, because you can start out very simply with it. I've now been doing yoga for 40-something years. This month, I'm hitting my 66th birthday. And because of yoga is one of the things I do daily, I don't look it, I don't act it, and I don't physically feel it. So check out a yoga class. They have them in rec centers, in Y's, in yoga studios, many different types of yogas that exist now, and just find one that you like and just start doing it. Before I bring on my guest, Dr. Julie Chen, I want to talk to you about a DVD that I've done called Instant Headache and Migraine Relief. It's a DVD that shows you a Japanese pressure technique called shiatsu that you can do on yourself as well as other people, and you can get rid of a headache in 90 seconds. Migraines, 5 minutes. There's also treatments on the DVD for sinus, cold, sore, and stiff neck and sore shoulders. If you're interested in learning more about this, it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to teplitz.com. You'll see the products button. You'll get a drop-down menu and click on DVDs.
My guest today is Dr. Julie Chen. She's been on the show a number of times. And Dr. Julie is a board-certified integrative medicine physician. She's got her own clinic in San Jose, California, and she incorporates a number of alternative therapies for medical acupuncture, Chinese scalp acupuncture, clinical hypnotherapy, and vitamin and herbal therapy as well. She's got a background in internal medicine, and she's been a wellness doc and worked with various Silicon Valley corporations. And she's been regularly on radio and TV shows, and recently was on once again on the Dr. Oz show. So, Julie, welcome again to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know on the Dr. Oz show, by the way, that was February 21st, in case any listeners want to kind of Google around and see if you can get to the show, you talked about a couple of supplements that most people haven't heard about yet. What are they?
So the two supplements we talked a lot about was the chromium polynicotinate, and then another one is called DIM, or it's short for diindolyl methane.
Thank you for figuring out how to pronounce that.
Yeah.
So now there is a substance called chromium picanolinate. I'm mispronouncing it probably, and yours is polynicotinate.
Yeah, so the difference between the two, and I don't sell any of these products, it just is products that I have used in patients in my clinic. The chromium picolinate that they've used, like a lot of people know about that version of the chromium because it's a lot in a lot of the supplements. But studies tend to say that the chromium polynicotinate is a little safer, and the polynicotinate part, the second part that binds with the chromium, is actually vitamin B3, so it's niacin. And the B3 helps with triglycerides and lipids, so it's a good combo between chromium and the vitamin B3, hence the chromium polynicotinate. And at the appropriate dosages, it's something that might be helpful with blood sugar because chromium is a trace mineral that we need for our insulin hormone and our body to work optimally.
So run this by me a little bit clearer. So what would the chromium picolinate do?
Chromium picolinate does do that. The chromium helps with, because it's just a binder, like what the chromium is bound to make the compound. So chromium is still, you still have the chromium in both versions, but some of the studies were a little concerned about chromium picolinate as having more potential cellular change or damage. So the chromium polynicotinate seemed to have been a little safer. And again, the safety issues were more in these, but still, you know, when given two options and one seems to be better and higher quality, I usually go with that one. And the polynicotinate, again, because picolinate isn't a vitamin B3, and as you well know, or some of the readers or the listeners may know, that niacin and B3 is actually helpful with cholesterol and triglycerides. So when you put chromium together with the vitamin B3, it's almost you get added benefits.
Now, there's some, I don't know if you've seen some of the research on niacinamide and memory. Do you know if niacin will help with memory as well?
So there's a chance. And here's the thing is I'm a big proponent as far as any vitamin and mineral goes is that you want to be the bear that got it just right. So not too much or too little. So, you know, anytime you overdo a vitamin, it can cause side effects because with niacin, and anybody who's listening would know that if they're taking niacin and you take too much, there might be some skin flushing, nausea, rashes, et cetera. So when you take it at the lower levels, as it comes with the chromium polynicotinate, it'll be helpful with the triglycerides and potentially with memory and things like that, but without the side effects. So one thing with the B3, you know, obviously B3 is something that's used in a lot of different cellular functions, and the main one that's it's typically used in medicine as far as clinics go and even in conventional medicine, it's really for the cholesterol and the lipids. So a lot of the other studies as far as B vitamins for memory and whatnot, it's also true of a lot of other B vitamins. For example, I frequently use vitamin B2 for migraine sufferers. I also use B12 and things for fatigue and energy and also nerve function in the body, especially if they have pain with nerves. So a lot of the B vitamins are obviously very essential for even whether it's depression, mood, anxiety, fatigue, or, you know, any of those issues. I mean, it's just something that our body typically needs. So you don't want to be deficient in it, but you also don't want to overdo these levels either.
Is there a recommended amount a typical person should take of this chromium picolinate?
Yeah, so with the chromium polynicotinate, I usually recommend about 200 micrograms a day. If the person is a tiny person and their body size is just really little and they don't have a lot of sugar issues, I would probably recommend about 100 micrograms or even 50 micrograms a day as a gap filler. But what's interesting is that we do know that there's a lot of people who have low-level chromium deficiency in the U.S., and a lot of it is because a lot of our foods are processed, and under high stress, our body does not actually absorb well. So what ends up happening is we're running around with mild deficiencies, and we're not able to process our sugar very well because the chromium needs a trace mineral to be efficient. So I would generally recommend if you're going to take like a multivitamin daily dosage, about 100 to 200 is a good one to take. If you're much larger and want to and have blood sugar issues, I would just check with your doctor on appropriate dosing, but you may be able to take 200 or a little bit more.
So if you're having non-processed foods, are there foods that you recommend if somebody wanted to get some of it from their foods?
Oh, yeah. So chromium is actually found a lot in like vegetables, meats, you know, whole grains. So as long as you're eating kind of organic, non-processed, non-refined food, it's in there. But again, that's just taking into consideration the fact that you're now at least eating the foods that have the nutrient. But if your body is high stress or if you're older, because as we get older, we naturally absorb less of the nutrients from our food, then what ends up happening is that even if you're eating higher quality food, you may not be absorbing enough. So you may need a little bit more supplementation. But in general, I always recommend get it from your food if you can. So of course, eating higher quality foods is always better than eating refined food. So that goes without saying. But I would say that there is a chance that even if you eat the higher quality foods, you'll still need a little bit of supplementation.
Great. When you were on the Dr. Oz show, you shared with me before we went on to interview you here, there were a couple of things you didn't have a chance to say on the show about the chromium. Can you want to share that with our listeners?
Well, the main thing that I was talking about is really about the dosing. So, you know, a lot of times patients where there's a concern with the diabetes patients that because the chromium helps with your insulin, I talked about it briefly on the show, but I'll go more into depth because we have the time. The chromium, if you're taking the chromium, your insulin is functioning better. If you're on diabetic medications, the concern is that are you now, because your own function is getting better, do you maybe need less medication? And so there's a risk of your blood sugar dropping too low. So you definitely, if you have diabetes, clear the dosing with your doctor and make sure that he or she knows about it. And you may want to dose down your medications for the diabetes just so that you're not overdoing it. But that's only after you talk to your doctor. So don't stop your medications altogether for the diabetics because you may still need it. Most likely you'll need some of it. But you'll need to basically be monitored and check your blood glucose levels a little more frequently.
Now, there is a little catch-22 here. And I know people say, like you said, you know, check with your doctor. But a lot of doctors don't have any kind of nutritional background and may not even believe in supplements.
Right.
So how do you get to where you need to be?
Well, I think here's the thing is with chromium, a lot of the doctors should know a little bit about it. If they don't, what I usually will recommend is for patients in other areas in the country to look on different national associations of boards to look for qualified practitioners in their area. So the American Board of Integrative and Holistic Medicine or the American Holistic Medicine Association. So this way you can kind of go online and see which ones are sort of certified to answer your questions. That would be a little bit safer as far as trying to get some guidance on these supplements.
And actually, if you have somebody who's part of those organizations, they have much more of an interest probably in looking that way first before the drug route anyway.
Yes, yeah. They'll give you better guidance.
Great. Now, you also talked on the Dr. Oz show about a supplement. You're going to have to pronounce it. It goes by the initials D-I-M.
Yes. So it's actually diindolylmethane, and it's easier to just call it DIM. And it's actually a byproduct of the cruciferous vegetables. Like when you eat things like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, all of those foods, once you process it, it actually becomes indole-3-carbinyl and then it gets processed further into diindolylmethane. And they were seen in studies to actually have some natural benefits in balancing hormones.
So this way you're actually getting it in the form that the body is working to turn it into.
Well, the way that it actually works is that it doesn't take that and turn it into hormones. What it actually does is that the food product, the DIM, helps your own body to balance the inflammatory chemicals and also to balance the good and the bad hormones, like specifically more estrogen. So it's been seen in the studies that it helps to upregulate or increase the good estrogen and decrease the bad estrogen because there's different molecular versions of estrogen.
Let's come back to that in a minute because before we continue, I'd like to remind you you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Dr. Julie Chen, in just a moment.
If you're involved in any kind of selling, have I got a product for you. It's the Switched On Selling DVD series. It's 6 DVDs. 4 of them are the actual live Switched On Selling seminar that produces profound changes in people's selling abilities. 2 of the DVDs are by Dr. Tony Alessandro, a sales guru on selling. And he and I did the bestseller on Amazon called Switched On Selling. So not only do you get the DVDs in the package, you also get the workbook, and the special book that Dr. Tony Alessandro and I did. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. It will boost your sales dramatically. To get it, go to teplitz.com. You'll see the products button. You get a drop-down menu and go to DVDs.
So my guest today is Dr. Julie Chen. She is a board-certified integrative medicine physician. She's got a practice in San Jose, California, and she incorporates a whole range of integrative, alternative methods into her practice. She has worked in corporate wellness in a number of Silicon Valley corporations, and she was recently on the Dr. Oz show for the X number of times. How many times were you on the show, Julie?
It's been my second time.
Second time. That's more than me, so you're doing great.
Thanks.
Now, you were just talking before we took the break about the good estrogen and the bad estrogen. And can you explain a little more of that to my listeners?
Sure. The way our body tends to work is that, you know, we as the lay people, like in general, we kind of know estrogen, progesterone as like a whole. But the way our body generally works is that there is certain channels where the hormones are shunted and made into different versions of itself, and the molecule changes. And so when the molecule changes and the hormone changes, it actually gets picked up in different receptors in different cells. So there are versions of estrogen that are good and bad. It's been seen in some of the animal and the test tube studies that DIM seems to be helpful with increasing the good estrogen and decreasing the bad, which is important for hormone-based cancers like breast cancer and ovarian cancer type stuff. So right now, the word is still out as to how we might be able to use DIM on the cancers themselves, because the test tube and the animal studies were so good that they're now conducting large-scale human studies about it. So generally, I don't recommend that anybody who has active ongoing cancer or that they've already had the cancer that they use it, but it's something worthwhile discussing with your integrative oncologist. But if, let's say, you have family history and you're concerned about it, it may be a good product for you. But I also use it quite a bit for patients with menopause symptoms or PMS symptoms, and they don't want to use hormones.
So the body is actually manufacturing some of this bad estrogen itself.
Right. Well, what happens is you get the precursor molecule, what we call the earlier molecule. So the way our body works is that we have these molecules of hormones or anything like that, and what ends up happening is that it comes in like form A, then form A gets made into B, B into C, then C might get made into E and F, then F farther down the line gets made into G and H. Do you know what I mean? So the earlier up the chain it goes, there's a different molecule, and then it becomes different other molecules. So we like to generally term things like in a broad category and just say estrogen is estrogen, but there are different versions of it. And, you know, there's different kinds of precursor molecules or earlier molecules that then get made into later molecules. So I don't want to get too much into the science stuff, but, you know, there are different versions of estrogen. And some versions are beneficial to our body. Some versions are not beneficial as much to our body as far as what potential harm, you know, increasing or upregulating. One version might put us at higher risk for breast cancer, and then another version actually helps us to balance our hormones so that we don't get so much of the cancer issues. The same can be said about like inflammatory chemicals. So they're generally, you know, some of them are called interleukins, but one type of interleukin helps to increase inflammation. Another type of interleukin actually helps to balance out and decrease inflammation. So there's a lot of different versions of these different molecules.
Now, are these parts of this stuff, but with the interleukin and the estrogen, you're taking externally some substance, or is it that the body's just taking
You're just making it, yeah. So you're making the estrogen and the interleukin, but that's actually a great question, because we have found that a lot of pesticides and, you know, can be what we call xenoestrogens, meaning they're chemicals. They're not actually ones that you make, but they have hormone effects in the body like estrogen, so it's not good. And then certain plants are what we call phytoestrogens, and they're plant estrogens. So again, they kind of trigger an estrogenic effect in the body potentially by using a lot of the same receptors, but it isn't something that you've made yourself. But when I initially were talking about the good and bad estrogens, that is something that is down the line from, your own body's making and interleukins as well. And whether the one estrogen gets pumped up and another one down, up and down, it all depends on the status of your body, how healthy it is, whether your body thinks that it needs more of one or another, your body regulates.
So talk a little bit more about the DIM and that the study with horses and how they're moving into humans and what are they looking to find a little bit more?
Sure. The in the test tube and the animal studies, they saw that the DIM had a good effect on a lot of these inflammatory chemicals. They also saw that it upregulated or increased the good estrogen and decreased the bad estrogen. And then so now they're trying out the DIM in actual human in humans who have, you know, cancers and things like that, primarily to see whether it actually will change the course of the cancer in the person. And so they're taking that supplement. This is exciting because they're taking that supplement and putting it into a study as though it was like a medication, like you would test a medication, right? In the human study, you would basically get samples of patients with cancer or a history of cancers. And depending on how you want to structure the study, you can either look forward to see if people who take DIM develop cancer, or if they already have cancer and they take DIM, does it maybe help with remission, or does it decrease the death rate or anything like that? So one, you know, potential study, and again, I'm not doing these studies, so there's a lot of different ways you can do the studies. So One of the great, very interesting studies might be, you know, if we take people with cancer or breast cancer right now, we give them DIM, and they're ones where they're already not doing chemotherapy because maybe they're deemed to be too far advanced. The people who got DIM, do they actually live longer than the ones who didn't get DIM? You know, that would be like a good controlled study to see. But, you know, again, there's so many different studies being done right now about it. So different studies have different outlooks on what their goal for looking at or their outcome is. Like what their, so each study is powered and the number is set up for the study based on what outcome they're looking for. So depending on what you're looking for is how they'll set up the study.
Now, since you said DIM is in things like broccoli and the cruciferous vegetables, if you don't have one of those cancer issues and those kinds of things, is eating those kinds of vegetables enough, or is taking DIM give you an added advantage?
So here's the thing is I would say, because I had mentioned I wouldn't really recommend taking the DIM when you're actively undergoing therapy for cancer. So those patients for sure don't have the option of taking the DIM. I wouldn't recommend that. What I would say is just eat a lot of cruciferous vegetables. And to get the recommended dosing of DIM, you probably have to eat about 2 pounds of it. It's a lot, and you have to eat it every day. Yeah.
Don't forget the gas.
Yeah, I know. So that's why it's, you know, a lot of times patients like to take the supplement because it's a whole lot of vegetables and of the same type of, you know, family of vegetables in one day, in every day. So, you know, that's why it's more problematic and some people want to do the supplement. But I generally recommend eat as much of the cruciferous vegetable that you can tolerate and can do, and then see, you know, what your needs for the DIM might be. And if you're someone who eats like 1 pound a day, no problem, then maybe take half the dosage of the DIM. But I would definitely clear that again with the practitioners that you're seeing that have some background in supplements, because when you start to do with the food and then you've got a disease state that you want to treat, you want to make sure that you're getting the right dosage for the problem that you're dealing with.
Any idea if you do juicing of vegetables that you'd be getting the DIM benefit kind of more concentrated, or does it get lost?
I don't think it's more concentrated. You know, I do like juicing, but at the same time, I am a big fan of whole foods because there are parts of the vegetables and fruits and things like that that are very beneficial, and when you juice it, you lose it. And so because Mother Nature, my general philosophy is Mother Nature almost knows better what we needed than we do through our Vitamix. So I usually will say eat all of the vegetable if you can, and for those people who, you know, want to do additional juicing on top of that, that's fine. And if, let's say, you just don't like the way the vegetables, you know, are in your mouth or the taste of them, and the only way they're going to get some vegetables in is through juicing, then I would say that. But, you know, I think in general the studies have been more based out of the foods or the isolated DIM. It hasn't been through the juicing, as far as I know.
Okay.
So that I don't know. Probably think that it's from the whole food.
Now, again, on the Dr. Oz show, you were talking about DIM. Is there anything that you didn't have a chance to share about that on the show?
Right. So the part I didn't get to talk a lot about is this cancer situation. So I would highly recommend that for those who are actively undergoing cancer treatment, don't take the DIM on your own. Or if you're at high risk for the breast cancer and you're later in age and you're having menopause symptoms, it's probably still a good option for you, but you should check with your practitioner before using it just because of the cancer risks. But, you know, all signs kind of point to the positive that it should help with the cancer, but I would not go that route unless you've cleared it with your practitioner. And especially if you're undergoing chemotherapy or drug therapy or radiation therapy, you do not want to be taking any supplements because it can block the effectiveness of the treatment.
Anyway, somebody who does have cancer is untreatable can get into any of these kinds of studies to see?
You know what? Probably. I would probably say that the biggest centers are the large academic centers and the National Institute of Health with the National Cancer Institute are actively doing studies. I know when I was looking at a lot of the studies, you know, if you just go on like, you know, one of the major search engines and you just type in ongoing clinical study for cancer patients and DIM, they'll pop up a list. And what you'll see is you'll go on those sites and then they'll say recruiting, these are the criteria, and if you fit one of those criteria, there's always on that info sheet contact information.
Great. So for my listeners, if you'd like to explore more what Dr. Julie Chen's been talking about and lots of other information she has, you can go to our website, Making Healthy Easy. So it's healthy, H-E-A-L-T-H-Y, and then the letter E-Z.com. So that's makinghealthyeasy.com. Dr. Julie, thanks for being a guest today again on Healthy Alternatives.
Thanks for having me. It's always a lot of fun.
This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.